Good morning, Junior.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, good, good. They've just released the latest batting, bowling, and test rankings, and I think no big shock there. Virat Kohli's on top from Kane Williamson. This shows you how good Steve Smith and Dave Warner are, mate. They're still ranked number four and number six in the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the rankings work, but
No.
I think they got that right. Virat Kohli and Kane Williamson, one and two, they're great players. Especially Virat Kohli, I think he's probably a level above everyone else at the moment. Obviously, Steve Smith and Warner aren't playing, but he's probably the standout batsman in world cricket at the moment.
And Pujara's rocketed up the charts too, mate. He's now in third position after his series against Australia.
Yeah, well, he's your quiet achiever, isn't he, Pujara, the guy that sticks in there and he's the rock of the team. I think every Test nation needs a player like him. England probably need one at the moment. So do the Australians. Yeah, he's a super player. Obviously, different styles to Kohli, but just important.
We haven't spoken to you, mate, since the Marnika Test match. Are all our issues solved? Is it all plain sailing now as we go forward? Our next Test match is going to be Test match number one in the Ashes series, August 1 against England.
Well, it certainly look a lot brighter, TK,
Yes.
than a few weeks ago. There's nothing beats winning games, doesn't matter who you play against. It'll be a good confidence booster, I think, for a lot of the players individually. We obviously made those batsmen made the 300s in that game, Travis Edmonds and Curtis Patterson on the booth. So good for their confidence. Mitchell Starc obviously taking 10 wickets in the game. That'll get him back firing and feeling good about himself. So even though the opposition was pretty poor, I mean, realistically, Sri Lanka would probably not beat a Shield team, I don't think. So the opposition was poor, but you can only beat who you're up against. And, you know, they've done well to finish the summer with two Test match victories, the Aussies. And the good thing is England have been playing very, very poorly over in the West Indies. So that gives us a bit more confidence leading into the Ashes, I think.
Yeah, you've been a big supporter of Curtis Patterson, Jr. You would have been happy to see him score that 100 against Sri Lanka at Marnika Oval. And has that cemented his position on the plane for the Ashes?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was. I mean, you can't do any more than making 100. Yes, he had luck. He was dropped first ball, but, he still played well after that. And, he's just looked very comfortable, albeit against pretty modest bowling, but he's been a consistent player, as I've mentioned, for a couple of years at Shield level, and he just hasn't got those big hundreds. But now he's got what 300s in a week, basically against Sri Lanka. That'll give him the know-how and the confidence to keep doing that. So yeah, I think he'll definitely be on the plane to England. Whether he's a number six, I'm not sure, but I think he's probably better suited at four or five. But definitely a great start to his Test career.
As a number six, Junior, do you need to be a stroke player as such, or do you need to be a guy that can sort of, see the ball and knock it around a little bit and accumulate your runs?
Yeah, well, probably a bit of both, but I
right.
think generally speaking, number six is a bit of a dasher and maybe a sort of a batting all-rounder. You normally have someone there who can bowl a bit as well at number six. So, I mean, it just depends on the makeup of the balance of your batsmen already in the team. But it's sometimes a difficult position because you quite often do get the second new ball when you're batting at number six. And you've got to bat with the tail as well. So that in itself is a bit of a tricky situation. So you need a smart player there. But generally speaking, more of a bit of a dash that can move the game forward bats at number six.
Junior, I want to get your opinion about Marcus Harris, because he made the runs against the tough bowling opposition and the tough opposition in India, and then when he should have probably cashed in, he didn't. That was against the weak Sri Lankans. So as a former selector, when you sit down and you have a look at form, I'd like to get your opinion about how you rate Marcus Harris against the blokes who came out and cashed in against Sri Lanka.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. He'd be very frustrated, Marcus Harris, because he made good runs against top quality bowling, 70s and 80s, and you've got to weigh up, was that 70 or 80? That's probably worth 150 against Sri Lanka, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the bowling's much stronger. But then he got his chance against Sri Lanka and he didn't take it in both innings. So he'll be disappointed. And look, top-level sport's all about taking your opportunities. Joe Burns comes in and gets 180. Well, pretty hard to leave him out in the next Test match, isn't it? And you've got Warner to come back more than likely. So Marcus Harris, really, his destiny was in his own hands against Sri Lanka. And, I think he's still got a bit to learn with the way he bats. And that showed up in those two Test matches. So he'll be disappointed, and it's going to be a tricky one for the selectors. But, you'd have to think that Burns has probably overtaken him, even though it was against weaker opposition. He got the runs on the board and Harris didn't. So,
okay.
Yeah, tricky one. But, you know, we know Harris is a good player, but I think it's he's got a bit to learn about just about how he goes his way about constructing an innings.
Just makes these next four Shield games really,
yeah.
really important.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, only Sri Lanka, but it was good to see Mitch Stark grab a bag full and get his confidence going.
Well, that's right. I mean, he's, you know, by his standards, he's been very inconsistent, I think, this summer and probably the last 12 months. There's times where he's, you know, look, his body language hasn't been great and he looks like he's lacked a bit of confidence and got frustrated. So I just think against Sri Lanka, he just sort of forgot about all that and ran in and let rip and bolt as quick as he could. And I think that's not a bad way to go for him in the future. I think he's, you know, he's got that express pace when he's steaming in, and that intimidates batsmen. I mean, yes, it was Sri Lanka and their batting was poor, but I think he would have got wickets against pretty good opposition. I think the way he bowled, you know, that pace and that fear factor, I think that's probably more what he's got to do in the future rather than just concentrating on floating it up there and swinging a ball. I think he can still do that, but I reckon when he's bowling quick, he's a bigger asset to the team.
Geez, they look like they'd never seen a fast bowler before, the Sri Lankans. They played the short ball terribly. I know they play on flat decks, Mark, but still they tour a lot. They played the short ball terribly.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were down on troops. Yeah. Not so much their batting, but their fast bowling. And they're in a bit of turmoil, aren't they? The Sri Lankan administration level, their selectors are getting sacked and the board. And they've just left out their captain, I think, for the tour to South Africa. So... yeah, they're in a bad situation. Their batting, yeah, I thought was pretty ordinary. I mean, Canberra was a very, very flat wicket. That's as good a batting track as you'll get in world cricket. So to be bowled out so cheaply on a good pitch, that'd be disappointing. A few of them just sort of dug in there and showed some good signs. But, you know, the level of their play was pretty ordinary with the bat and the ball. I'd say their bowling attack could be somewhere between a state team and second 11. So... and their batting was no better. But, you know, the Australians did what they had to do and showed the big gulf in difference between some of the better teams and some of the weaker teams.
Sri Lanka have had their issues. Australia against India had their troubles. What did you make of England's performance against the West Indies?
I thought it was beautiful.
Oh, loved every moment of it.
So, mate, we're a massive chance.
You there, mate?
Yeah, mate, we're a massive chance in the Ashes.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, England are going to be much better at home with the Duke balls in swinging conditions. But a bit of a wake-up call for England. You know, they've sort of... their blueprint has been to bat very aggressively in both one-day cricket and test cricket, and sometimes that can come undone. And there's talk about their preparation wasn't great for the West Indies tour, and they're a bit overconfident. So it's probably a wake-up call for them. But they need to find... there's some areas in their game which are very vulnerable. They're two opening bats, and they need to find two openers. Their batting's pretty weak at the top, even though they bat deep. Their openers are struggling. I think their spin bowling department's fairly weak. I know Moeen Ali's got a few wickets in the last 12 months, but I don't think he's a real threat. So, yeah, real. I mean, good to see from an Australian point of view, and great to see from a world cricket point of view that the West Indies are back playing well, because we've missed their sort of quality, I think, the last 4 or 5 years. So really good for world cricket. And I suppose it just makes the Ashes more interesting and gives us a bit of confidence that, you know, England are quite vulnerable, particularly their batting.
All right, forget about all the cricket, mate. Race 7 today, the top weight, White Boots, a $10 chance. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's good each way chance. I mean, it's a bit short of his best probably, but he's a real tough, consistent horse. He's had a couple of good trials, so... yeah, I just think he's a definite top four chance. Whether he wins or not, they might be a bit sharp for him, but I think he'll be there punching away in the top three or four. So at $10, he's probably a good each way bet.
What's the plans for the Stork going forward, Junior?
The mighty Stork.
The mighty mate, Stork.
Mate, the Stork's disappeared. He's you know, he's moved on. He's moved on. Knows with his.
He's having a bit of a rest, is he?
He's moved on to another trainer. Not sure where he's gone. The Stork.
Oh, he's moved on.
Jeez.
We're going to drop him, mate, as our favourite horse. He'll no longer get a mention, the Stork.
He wasn't my favourite horse. He's a nice horse, but I think he's gone to probably the country where it's a little level, you know, a bit weaker for him. Hopefully, his career continues to go up rather than down, mate.
Well, his fan club will not drop off. Good on you, Mark.
Nah. All right, see you guys.
See you, buddy.
There he goes, Mark Waugh, who's... he's got Joe Burns with his nose in front of Marcus Harris to be Dave Warner's opening partner for the opening Ashes test.